Welcome to the Narracast Tech Briefing for today. We're tracking the latest shifts across AI, robotics, and the infrastructure that powers it all.
And today, we're looking at a fascinating tension that's popping up everywhere, from local developer tools to international regulations. It's the classic battle between security and transparency, but playing out in ways that fundamentally change who controls our technology.
Right. We're going to start by looking at OpenAI's Codex CLI. They've just introduced an encryption update that is completely blinding developers to what their autonomous subagents are actually doing locally.
It is a massive headache if you're trying to debug a multi-agent workflow right now. And after that, we'll dive into the European Union's upcoming age verification app. It's supposed to be a privacy-preserving win for the Digital Services Act, but under the hood, it's forcing users straight into the arms of Apple and Google.
Which is exactly the opposite of the EU's stated goals for digital sovereignty. We also have a roundup covering a new coordination bug between Claude Design and Claude Code, a major update to Git, and some concerning transparency rollbacks in Germany.
A lot of ground to cover. Let's get right into it.
Our first story today deals with a fundamental shift in how developers interact with AI agents. If you look at GitHub issue number 28588 for the OpenAI Codex CLI, there is a massive debate brewing over a change merged on June 5th, 2026. Pull request 26210 introduced encrypted multi-agent V2 message payloads.
And to understand why this matters, we have to look at how developers use Codex right now. When you're running complex agentic workflows, you aren't just sending one prompt to one model. You have a primary orchestrator agent that spawns multiple subagents to handle specific tasks. Up until now, you could look at your local rollout history and audit trails to read exactly what instructions that orchestrator was sending to its subagents.
Exactly. It was human-readable, in clear text. If an agent hallucinated or went down a rabbit hole, you just opened the log, read the prompt it was given, and adjusted your overarching logic. But this new update, which affects all Codex CLI versions post 0.137.0, encrypts those payloads. And if you are using the newer models like GPT-5.5, you are forced onto this encrypted path.
The human-readable task content is just gone from the local logs. And developers are understandably upset, because debugging a multi-agent workflow without seeing the prompts is like trying to debug a traditional software application without access to standard output or variable states. It is virtually impossible to figure out why an agent failed if you can't see the context it was given.
The discussion on the issue tracker is really trying to parse out OpenAI's motivation here. The most generous interpretation is that this is a strict security measure. By encrypting the transport and payload between subagents, OpenAI makes it significantly harder for malicious actors to perform API pooling or harvest data to train competing models.
Right. Data harvesting is a huge concern for them. But the less generous interpretation, which a lot of developers are leaning toward, is that OpenAI is trying to obscure their proprietary multi-agent orchestration logic. The exact way these agents coordinate, the specific system prompts being injected, that's the secret sauce. By encrypting it, they lock competitors out, but they also lock their own users out.
Which begs the question of trust. If we are moving toward a future where autonomous agents handle critical infrastructure or sensitive code bases, the loss of local auditability is a massive step backward. How can an enterprise developer trust a system if they literally cannot audit the instructions being passed around on their own local machine?
They can't, reliably. And that's the tension. You have this incredibly powerful tool in GPT-5.5, but it operates as a black box. Some users on the thread have suggested a compromise. Maintain the encrypted transport to the API, but write a separate, non-encrypted field exclusively to the local audit trail. That way, OpenAI protects the wire, but the developer still owns their local debugging data.
That seems like a reasonable technical solution, but so far OpenAI hasn't committed to rolling back the encryption or providing that local clear text override. It really highlights the broader industry trend. As models get more capable, providers are locking down the telemetry. We saw this with the transition from open weights to API-only access, and now we're seeing it move into the orchestration layer itself.
It's a stark reminder that when you build on a proprietary ecosystem, the rules of engagement can change overnight. One PR merged in June, and suddenly your entire debugging workflow is obsolete. Developers relying heavily on Codex for multi-agent systems are going to have to rethink how they validate agent behavior if this encryption remains the default. Let's pivot to tech policy. The European Union is currently developing an open-source age verification app, which sounds like a straightforward technical solution to a regulatory requirement. It's built on the European Digital Identity Wallet Framework, or EUDI, and it's designed to help enforce the Digital Services Act. The goal of the DSA in this context is to protect minors from harmful online content. But the EU knows that traditional age verification, like uploading a photo of your passport to a random website, is a massive privacy risk. So the European Commission is utilizing zero-knowledge proofs. The idea is that you can prove you meet an age threshold, say over 18, without ever revealing your actual identity, name, or birth date.
On paper, a zero-knowledge proof architecture is the gold standard for this. They are even rolling out a pilot of this app in 2026. But if you look at the technical specifications, which are currently being debated fiercely on GitHub and Reddit, there is a massive catch. The app relies on device integrity checks to prevent fraud.
And this is where it all falls apart for privacy advocates. To verify device integrity, the technical spec specifically integrates Google Play Integrity and Apple App Attestation. Those are proprietary APIs controlled by two US-based tech giants. If you want to use this EU privacy app, you effectively have to be running a licensed stock version of Android or iOS.
Which means if you are a privacy-conscious user running an aftermarket operating system like Graphene OS or any de-Googled version of Android, the app will fail the integrity check and refuse to work. You are locked out of age verification, and by extension, potentially locked out of large parts of the internet under the DSA.
It is a glaring contradiction. The European Union has spent the last decade championing digital sovereignty. They've aggressively fined US tech companies for antitrust violations and pushed for interoperability. Yet here they are, building a core piece of civil infrastructure that structurally mandates having an account with Google or Apple.
Critics are arguing that this undermines the entire premise of the app. Yes, the zero-knowledge proof might protect your identity from the website you're visiting, but the underlying infrastructure still requires you to ping Google or Apple servers to attest your device. That introduces a potential tracking vector at the operating system level.
The Commission defends this by saying they need robust fraud prevention. If they allow custom ROMs, malicious actors could spoof the device integrity and bypass the age gates entirely using emulators. But it really forces the question, can the EU actually achieve digital independence if they don't have a sovereign mobile operating system to build upon?
Right now, the answer seems to be no. They are entirely dependent on the hardware and API ecosystems built in Silicon Valley. It's going to be very interesting to see if the pressure from open source advocates forces the EU to provide a fallback mechanism for users on alternative operating systems before the pilot finishes its rollout later this year.
If they don't, we are looking at a future where participating in the digital public square in Europe practically requires a terms of service agreement with an American corporation. That is exactly what the DSA was supposed to protect against.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick. We've got a couple of feature requests from the Anthropic ecosystem, a big update to Git, and some troubling transparency news out of Germany.
First up, a really interesting friction point between Anthropic's new tools. Issue 77551 highlights a gap in the handoff between Claude Design, which launched in April 2026, and Claude Code. A user passed a design bundle over, but Claude Design hadn't fully sliced the SVGs. Instead of flagging the missing assets, Claude Code running Fable 5 just assumed it needed to rasterize and manually draw the UI elements itself, which is obviously suboptimal. The feature request is asking for direct agent-to-agent coordination, so Claude Code can perform a pre-flight validation and tell Claude Design to fix the assets before trying to code them.
It shows how automated pipelines can fail silently.
If the handoff bundle is treated as a black box, the coding agent will just guess, and usually guess wrong.
Sticking with Anthropic, we have issue 43755 regarding the Claude desktop app. Users are frustrated because the terminal version of Claude Code has a robust rewind command to roll back file changes and session history, but the desktop app doesn't support it.
Yeah, if you type /rewind in the desktop app, it just returns unknown skill. It seems the visual interface handles session state very differently than the CLI.
As these agentic tools try to reach non-technical users through visual apps, they really need to maintain feature parity. An undo button is table stakes for multi-step coding tasks.
Over in version control, Git 2.54 and 2.55 have introduced an experimental Git history command. It's designed to be a safer, more opinionated alternative to the notoriously tricky Git rebase interactive.
It lets you reword, split, and fix up commits without touching the working tree. The big selling point is that it only executes if it can guarantee completion without conflicts.
It doesn't support merge commits yet, but it's a huge step toward making complex history rewriting accessible without needing to switch to newer tools like Jujutsu.
Finally, on July 2nd, the German government coalition agreed to propose major amendments to their 2006 Freedom of Information Act, and transparency advocates are sounding the alarm.
The changes would require a legitimate interest to file a request, exclude media organizations, and remove the 500 euro fee cap. The Interior Ministry, led by Alexander Dobrindt, is citing global cyber warfare as the justification.
Over 110 civil society organizations have signed an open letter saying this will completely gut government transparency. It shifts the burden of proof onto the citizen and creates massive financial barriers for journalists.
That's all the time we have for today's briefing. It's fascinating to see how the push for security is reshaping both local dev tools and national transparency laws.
We'll keep tracking the fallout from that Codex encryption update and the EU's app rollout. Thanks for listening.
We'll be back tomorrow with more updates. Take care.